Lads, we're back. Welcome back into In the Pocket, across the pond. I'm Lewis, joined by Alex, and also Alex. You know, it's the third annual In the Pocket Across the Pond Awards today, guys.
Wow.
The third annual In the Pocket Across the Pond Awards, the most prestigious ceremony, which is why we do like to release it just, you know, the night before the NFL Awards, just to, you know, steal that extra bit of thunder from them. Because these are the awards that you're all waiting for, that the players are sat up waiting for. I think a couple of them mentioned it when they were celebrating this year. You know, during the dances, they were like, that's going to, you know, I'm halfway there to an In the Pocket Across the Pond.
I'm going to win myself an it tapped.
The it tappies?
And in the crock.
The it tappies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's today's episode.
Are we going over playoff bracket this episode, Lou? Just because there's two people with a playoff bracket still alive.
I do have a very brief point on playoff brackets, and it was first up, Al. Great segue into the first segment. It was that everyone's bracket was blown up the very first night because the Texans beat the Chargers.
But the thing is, if your Super Bowl ends up being the two teams in the Super Bowl, like mine and Sharples is, you're still alive anyway.
Well, interestingly, okay. So I know my bracket was very wishful thinking, and it's not come true. But interestingly, when we go through our preseason predictions, I've not gone for our playoff brackets. We're going through our Super Bowl predictions before the season. That's what we're going for, right? But in terms of play, let's just round out the playoffs right now, okay? I don't know what you do if you're a member of the Buffalo Bills. I'm not talking player wise, roster wise, coach wise. I'm talking psychologically now. I don't think there's, after you've lost to a team so many times at the same stage, how do you overcome that? Really,
get some good players.
I would argue they had a better roster than Kansas City this year.
No, they didn't, because there's all this talk all year about, oh, this is the best supporting cast Josh Allen's ever had, blah blah blah. No, it wasn't. Name me one good receiver on that team.
Khalil,
you can't,
Shakir.
Exactly, you can't. You name me one player that's going to make a kind of difference through the air on that team. There is none.
Someone's obviously never predicted a Mari Cooper breakout game last year. But listen, and I feel like the same argument, and maybe even harsher, can be said about the Ravens, because they did have a better roster, and they went out the round before. I mean, Sharples, I know, I feel like a broken record here, because I feel like I've said this every single point, every single season at this point. I've said, when are we going to start asking questions about Jim Harbaugh? Because halfway through this every regular season, I look like a complete idiot saying that halfway through the season. Because it's like, well, they're sick, they're the Ravens. But then they just crash and burn every time, Sharples. When do they just say, right, we need something different here?
Well, first of all, I will raise a question about Jim Harbaugh, because he reckons he can remember the day he was born.
I've seen that. Lunatic.
I mean, I love the man. But he's I think it was a quote from Herbert. He sounded pretty serious. Like he said something about looking out the window and it was raining. I mean, this man's in one of the 32, you know, the elite jobs, and he reckons he can remember the day he was born. However, John Harbaugh, obviously, long tenure there, a lot of success. I mean, I agree it could, I mean, yeah, in in theory, in principle, whatever, it could, you know, time for a change. But you have to think, who's gonna come in? Like, there's probably not that, you know, instant fix out there that's gonna get them over the line. The fact is, they're in a division in the AFC with the Chiefs and the Bills, who are two fantastic teams. Obviously, the Chiefs being the top one. So is it a coaching thing, or is this just this team's limit? And is it Lamar's limit? Like, can he fully sustain it over the season of the playoffs?
Mm.
The answer seems to be no. So I wouldn't just go out there and get rid of him, because I think it's undervalued what consistency can have for a team. And, you know, been there for a long time. It's very easy just to say, oh, we need a change, but would that really be the best thing? I don't know. Not for me personally. I think he's shown he's a competent coach.
I know.
It's just unfortunate.
I agree, but at a certain point, competent doesn't cut it.
That's
really
true.
And yeah, I don't know. I just had all these thoughts when I was watching Josh Allen in his post-game press conference, and he just looked broken. And he's like, what can we do? And I just feel like him, Lamar Jackson, what can they do psychologically after you have just lost at these stages every single year? No matter how good you are, Lamar Jackson, best season of his career this year. Don't matter. Doesn't matter. So, I don't know. So, yeah, obviously the AFC, Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. NFC, I think, you know, I think we all thought the Rams would cause some shocks, and they did. Very much so.
Is beating the Vikings a shock? Didn't we all call that?
Yeah. True. But I mean, I'm yeah, I'll give you that one. I just think
sorry,
they were a bit.
Have I ruined your narrative?
No. No.
You look rattled.
No, shut up while I come up with a new narrative. I think they could have easily beat the Eagles as well. Could have easily beat the Eagles. I think the Eagles got that one pretty light. The talking point is the Commanders, though, and Jaden Daniels. Obviously, the thrashing by the Eagles sort of dampens that, but Commanders absolutely whooping the Lions, 45-31, and that's sort of generous as well. Lions crashing and burning. I didn't really see that. That defense is awful. That defense is awful of the Lions. Like, God, I mean, you know, I just thank God no team has come in for that defensive coordinator. I mean, Eagles at the end of the day, probably the better team in the division all round. I feel like, to me, they've been like the Chiefs this year in that they've just been good, and no one's really wanted them to be good, and they've not been maybe flashy good like some other teams in the conference, but, you know, voila, there they are in the Super Bowl again.
For me, I think the Lions were the best team. I think they were just really unlucky with injuries and the amount of them and how long they lasted. I think healthy Lions against healthy Eagles would have been a complete annihilation, personally.
Healthy Lions against healthy Eagles, not a great fight, though, because one of them will be soaring in the air. And no matter how healthy that Lion is, I don't think he can jump high enough to get him.
Well, if he plays the long game, I mean, the Eagles are going to have to land at some point to drink water or to roost. And then at that point, you know, Lion's in there.
There you go. That's true. But yeah, no real surprises here, I think. I think we're all pretty excited for the Super Bowl.
No.
I said to you, Al, I saw the graphics that you see on Instagram that are like who America is rooting for in particular games. And in the conference championship games, it was like, for the Bills Chiefs, it was like the whole of America was blue. And there was a tiny, tiny dot where Kansas City was that was red. And the same on the NFC side. It was like everywhere was that dark red, and there's a tiny bit of green where the Eagles was. And then this one, who America's rooting for in the Super Bowl, there's a tiny dot green where Philadelphia is, tiny dot red where Kansas City is, and everywhere else is just grey. Because nobody cares.
I think the viewership will be down significantly this year compared to previous years. Genuinely, I do. People don't like either of these teams. Both of these teams are quite boring and unlikable, I think, particularly the Eagles.
I mean, I think this raises a good point as to whether dynasties are actually good for the league. You like to define eras by the dynasties, but who does? Who likes to do that? Because you speak to a neutral, they want it to be competitive every year between all the teams. So, yeah, I don't know. But that's the NFL playoffs, and that's the Super Bowl to come this Sunday. I won't be asleep in the third quarter like I was the last time this game happened 2 years ago. Certainly. But lads, before we get into the main event, the awards, this is sort of the opening monologue section, really. Before we get there, do we want to go back and look at our preseason prediction? Because before we elevate the show by handing out the awards, we like to humble ourselves as well. We like to humble ourselves. And this is one hell of a humbling.
This is because I won the hits and the misses, isn't it, Lou? You've been planning this, right?
So we'll just start with the Super Bowl predictions. Super Bowl predictions, okay? We're sort of half right as a team, as a podcast, and we are a team, this podcast. Al, you said Lions to beat the Chiefs at the start of the season.
Yep. Did I? I thought I said Chiefs to win. Damn.
Because I remember that because I was the flip side of that and I went Chiefs to beat the Lions. So obviously we both have the Chiefs in the... I've got the Chiefs to win, which is the correct answer. And then Sharples, you said Eagles to beat the Texans. So no matter what happens, one of us on this podcast did get the Super Bowl winner right, which I'm claiming that victory for the podcast. Yeah, well, Al, but...
Nice.
Me or Sharples, yeah. So yeah, I don't think they're too...
My team was beaten by the team that's in.
I mean, I think, you know, we could look like... I could take the piss out of Sharples saying Texans, but Texans realistically got to the same point in the playoffs as the Lions. So, pretty even split there. Not too bad. Preseason... Bold predictions. Okay,
was this for fantasy?
This is just in general. We just did one general. Each in general, okay?
Okay.
Sharples, Texans to make the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That isn't as bad as on first reflection because the Texans did make the divisional round, so they were one of the best eight teams in the league.
Yeah,
factually,
but it was just...
so. You know,
they took a step backwards, really. They were fortunate to be in the division that they were in. And my thinking behind it was they'd had a really good foundation year. And, you know, they were at the point where they're not paying a lot for the quarterback. They were bringing in Diggs. They were bringing in Will Anderson, is it? The defensive? You know, not bringing him in. He was already there. Danielle Hunter thought, right, they're adding these pieces. They're making the most of not paying CJ Stroud much. I just thought it would be... I knew it was going to be a bold prediction, but I thought it was realistic. And pretty much from the get-go, it was just like, oh no, what's happened?
Yeah. But like I said, divisional round, you know, not an awful prediction, I'd say. And I, listening back, I did want to note down, in your prediction, you had them beating the Chiefs in the conference championship game, but you did say the Chiefs would sleepwalk to the playoffs, which they did. And beyond that. Your bold prediction was that Caleb Williams would support two top 24 wide receivers this season.
Yeah, right. I thought, Because that was more of a fantasy. Yeah, one, now, wasn't it?
He did. DJ Moore was wide receiver 16. Unfortunately, Keenan Allen was wide receiver 34. But you actually went even further and you said it would be DJ Moore and Roma Dunze. And Roma Dunze was wide receiver 49, unfortunately. But
not
listen,
awful,
that's not awful.
Man.
Like to say that a rookie quarterback is going to support, you know, a borderline starting wide receiver in fantasy, fair enough, like, you know, borderline wide receiver one in fantasy, fair enough, he did support DJ Moore, who was the wide receiver 16, who was on that precipice, really. And then my hot take, as I can't remember if I said this on the podcast, but I've certainly said this in real life, I think my hot take is incredible, because you're going to listen to it and you're not going to think it's a hot take, but remember this was a hot take back in September, because this particular team were ranked 10th in Super Bowl odds, okay? I said the Jets would miss the playoffs and Aaron Rodgers would retire. The Jets were one of the worst teams in the league this year, and Aaron Rodgers' future is uncertain. So I think that's one hell of a call. And like I said, you're listening to it now and you're thinking, yeah, obviously. No, no, no. That's because it was such a good hot take.
You're right. I don't remember a time where I thought they were going to be any good, but obviously at the start of the season, I must have.
Exactly.
So, yeah, fair play.
There you go. And that was just for my unwavering hatred of the Jets and Aaron Rodgers that I made that call. So, great. I'm buzzing with that.
Very nice.
And our bust picks, lads, before we get to our fantasy MVP picks and see how they're shaked out, our bust picks. I'm rolling in the bust picks with last year we did worst take of the season. I don't know if, you know, I wish... We got to maybe next season find out some, you know, maybe get some visuals for the show, because it's just beautiful seeing Alex Sharpton's face right now. Al, you said Chris, unfortunately mine and yours, Al, a bit void. You said Chris Olave, he was ruled out after week 9 with all of his concussions.
Who was a bust though? Let's just clear that one up.
Week 9, half the season, you never know how many times players turn the seasons around and stuff like that.
On the Saints?
But what was he? What was he in week 9?
Well, he was only averaging 12 points per game. So
there we go.
I said Stephon Diggs, who I'm very glad was ruled out after week 8, because he certainly was not a bust at all. averaging...
I don't remember him being
averaging,
that
he was averaging 15 points per game, which is...
Right, and with the wide receiver market this year,
that was pretty darn good. But this takes the case. Do you remember Sharpers' bust pick?
I don't remember Sharpers' bust pick. Can I guess? Can you give me a clue? What?
Then one of the best players on the season.
What
running
position?
Back.
Did they change teams?
This off season, last off season.
No. Derrick Henry was it.
Sharples wishes it was Derrick Henry. Sharples' bust pick was Saquon Barkley.
He didn't say Barkley, did he?
Sharples' bust pick was Saquon Barkley. Who, for context...
Why?
For context, averaged 22.2 points per game this season, broke all sorts of rushing records. Was it second most rushing yards all time in a season?
Yeah.
And it might have been that discouragement from Alex Sharples on this podcast.
I think it was. But in fairness to you, Sharples... Somehow ended up the running back too, because Jahmyr Gibbs played every game and Barkley didn't. But Saquon Barkley was your bust pick. Now, we are being harsh on you here. Of course, it's hard to predict a player having the season that he had. And I think it would have been just as likely for him to bust. But then again, wow. Sharples, any words?
if I remember, my rationale was probably that I thought he was going to get injured, as he had done every year for the previous 5 years. And I also thought that with the weapons that were already there, and with Jalen Hurts loving, you know, stealing touchdowns and the tush push, I just thought he wouldn't get as much work. But yeah, unfortunately, he remained healthy throughout the full season, and they gave him the keys to the entire franchise.
They did. So that's the worst take of the season. That's our bust picks. Wow. Amazing. I love that. Fantasy MVP picks, though, lads. Spoiler, we were fine. We were fine this year. Sharples, Karen was yours. Karen Williams, drafted as the running back 7, 15th overall, finished as the running back 7. Nice. You didn't sell anyone down the river there. That was absolutely fine. Al, AJ Brown, drafted as the wide receiver 6, 10th overall, finished as the wide receiver 20, but let's remember he missed a month at the start of the season. So I think you're pretty on the money there as well in terms of, you know, picking a player who isn't going to disappoint you, really. And then I said James Cook, drafted as the running back 13, 29th overall, finished as the running back 8. So nothing to write home about, really. We didn't kill you with our MVPs this year, but next year we will kill you with how good they are. Promise you that. And they were our predictions, lads. They were our predictions. Mixed bag. I'd say, you know, I'd say like fairly all right for the most part, apart from that one thing. But the one thing.
Yeah, not...
Nothing too embarrassing apart from the most embarrassing one. But shall we give out some awards? Yeah?
Yeah.
Let's start with draft value. Yeah, draft value. You know, Al, I remember you talked about the rationale of this, because we have draft value and sleeper hit. Draft value is more your guys who you're... Everyone's going to draft. They're going to be on all teams, but obviously where they finished is a lot greater than where you drafted them. And then sleeper hit are guys who,
yeah,
waiver wire picks, maybe you picked them with your last pick, someone like that who were virtually on, definitely not on more than half of rosters at the start of the season. So draft value, Al, do you want to give us a couple of the names that you were thinking of?
yeah, well, I've got two names, me, because obviously just differentiating between those sections. I've gone for like a kind of choice between Alvin Kamara and Brian Thomas Jr. What I've got. You know, two players that were definitely drafted, definitely. I mean, don't get confused. Thomas Jr. was drafted for the Jaguars. By fantasy players,
but only
this
like
year.
a tenth round or something, though. Yeah,
and I can't remember where Kamara went, but you know he didn't fall off again this year. So
yeah, nice. Sharples, any names to add to that? Any echoes?
Yeah, mine was sort of all around 10th roundish. My sleepers weren't drafted. I also have Brian Thomas Jr., but I added in Brock Bowers and Jaden Daniels.
Nice, yeah.
I had Daniels in mind, but he was kind of like a last pick in the draft guy.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also had Brian Thomas Jr. I was thinking about sleep hit, but I thought, no, a lot of people drafted Brian Thomas Jr. Malik Nabers for me as well was a value at where you were taking him. Terry McLaurin for me as well. And Chase Brown, who was also 10th round, but I think because he's the name we all brought up and he was a rookie and it was so unexpected, I think Brian Thomas Jr. to be drafted 10th round and come easily in the top 10 at the position on such a poor team as well, he was such a good value for where you picked him up. You got a freebie there really with him. So if we're all in agreement, draft value, I think Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah.
Brighty J. Yeah, congratulations. Your Itapi will be in the post. Sleeper hit. This one's interesting because I feel like I've got a name in here that we might not have. But Sharples, sleeper hit for you. Any players?
Yeah, I got three. I got Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. I think I picked him up on waivers in week two. He finished quarterback four on the year. Bucky Irvin, who I absolutely despise this year because he completely ruined Rashad White. He finished as the RB14. And unbelievably, Jonnu Smith, tight end number four.
Wow, yeah. That Jonnu Smith second half of season run has to be historic because that was mental. Mental. Yeah, good shows, Al.
Yeah, I'm going to show some love to the two Buccaneers as well. I've got Baker Mayfield and Bucky Irving down too. Bucky Irving's been sweeping up this award in other kind of fantasy pages and podcasts. I've also gone for the two rookie quarterbacks in Jane Daniels and Bo Nix. Yeah. So I think, you know, you've got the two Buccaneers and the two rookie quarterbacks, I think,
that is a shout. Bucky Irving, yeah, but undrafted. Baker Mayfield, pretty much undrafted as well. I did want to give a shout out to Jerry Jeudy, randomly, who definitely wasn't highly drafted. If he did, he was at the very end. And he actually finished as the wide receiver 12, which is stupid, really. But I think it has to be, for me, one of the Buccaneers guys. Baker Mayfield, undrafted, yet you look at all the quarterbacks who came around him, they were all drafted guys, very highly, you know. But then Bucky Irving, I don't know.
I think, you know, Daniels was unbelievable, but Mayfield finished higher than him.
And I think you drafted Daniels higher.
I think
than Mayfield, you know.
Yeah, I think Mayfield's output and points, as amazing as Bucky Irving was, it was so surprising and so consistent throughout the year, which is seen in the fact that Mayfield is QB4 and Irving's, what did you say, running back 14. And I know Irving had that amazing back half of the season, but I'm kind of leaning towards Mayfield personally. Yeah.
I think I am as well, Sharples.
Yeah, I thought I was going to have to fight for him over Bucky Irving. But yeah, Baker Mayfield definitely for me.
Nice. Baker Mayfield is a sleeper.
Because Mayfield had an amazing kind of last month of the season too.
Sleeper hit. Your Itapti will be in the post. Thank you, Baker Mayfield. Sleeper.
Who me and Sharples have always been a fan of, but it's nice to convince Lou and kind of make Lou come round on him because... Famous Baker Mayfield.
If he played for the Packers, he'd be loving him.
Yeah,
big cheesehead.
Yeah. You didn't have Jordan Love for sleeper hit.
No.
It's funny, Lou. I don't know if you can remember back to draft day, but you and I were the last men standing on the board, without taking a quarterback. And it came to me, and there was either Burrow or Love on the board. And I would have been happy with either, but I went for Burrow.
Oh.
And I saw your little face light up when you got your boy Jordan.
I know, I did. I had Love rated higher than him. I won't lie about that. Fantasy bust. Fantasy bust. Sharples, some busts for us to contemplate over.
I've got three. I mean, they all went in the first round.
Sure.
One of them, harsh, but Christian McCaffrey was the number one pick for a lot of people.
I know.
And just, he might never walk again.
I feel like the McCaffrey one probably needs to be left in. Yeah. I know it was injury, but the point is, we knew about the injury before the draft and we kind of went with it, and he has the injury history as well. So it's one of those where it's a bit like, in previous years, unlucky, this year, kind of your own fault if you drafted
him. Is Christian McCaffrey ever going to get drafted again in fantasy football?
this is the one for me because I drafted him everywhere. Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. Hill. Yeah,
and it wasn't him being injured, it was obviously...
Tua being injured, but like if you look at his numbers when Tua came back, it wasn't mint. It was not mint. Like, drafted as the wide receiver 2, third overall, finished as the wide receiver 18, 12.8 points per game.
Wide receiver 18 on a down year for wide receivers. I mean, in years gone by, he's probably outside the top 24, to be honest.
Yeah, so,
just awful. And then you defended him in one of the previous segments, Lou, but I thought AJ Brown, again, I know he got hurt, but I just purely because of how much they gave Saquon to do, he suffered a lot for me, and I had a lot higher hopes for AJ Brown. And he, I mean, number 9 overall, I think he went.
Al, any names to add?
Interesting one, a lot of names I could throw. I mean, I think some of the tight ends like LaPorta and Andrews saved the seasons really in the last month. I think there's a lot of high-profile ones in here, like Breece Hall, Tyreek Hill, kind of want to go Marvin Harrison Jr. because of the sheer hype around him. But I also want to mention someone who I feel like we've all forgot about, and maybe that is the biggest sin of all when you're thinking of busts, and that's Travis Etienne.
I knew you were going to say that.
So I think for the sheer fact that he's not actually been showing up on a lot of these lists because I think people have forgotten about him, I think I'm leaning towards Etienne.
I would agree with that. I also, the three names I had were Hill, Harrison Jr., Etienne. Harrison Jr., drafted as a wide receiver 9, 16th overall, crazy. Finishes the wide receiver 30, not even 12 points per game, which is, but Travis Etienne, he was drafted as the running back 8, 17th overall. That's the second round of fantasy drafts, the second pick on your fantasy team, often a running back 1. And he finishes the running back 35, averaging 8.7 points per game. And guess what? He only missed 2 games. Doesn't it feel like he missed more? He missed 2 games.
Yeah.
So I think it has to be Etienne for where he was drafted.
Well, let's just compare that to Breece Hall though, really quick, because Breece Hall only missed 1 game, and what he sat here at the. What is that running back? I've got him at running back 16. And Hall, you're talking about someone who did go in your first round.
I know.
Like the not like top five running back.
What did he
like
average? I feel
draft.
Like he gave you summer though. He gave you something.
15.
I think he gave you something. I think Etienne was such a deep drop off. I think it has to be Etienne for me, Sharples.
Yeah, you're right. I'd completely forgotten about him, and I think for that reason, it does have to be him.
Yeah. Travis Etienne, your first class parcel heading your way will include your Itapti for Bust of the Year.
3 Franchetti hands.
excellent though. And then fantasy MVP, I have 3 names written down. I'd be curious if you all have the same 3 names written down. Sharples?
I've got 2 names written down, although one is an actual winner and then one who you could make an argument for. I think Lamar Jackson has to be the winner.
Sure.
I mean, he was, 4th round, 5th round pick, and obviously stormed it. But I think there's an argument for Ja'Marr Chase purely because if you look at the point differentials, and like we said, it was a down year for wide receivers. He outscored Justin Jefferson, who was wide receiver 2, by not far off 90 points.
Yeah.
Which is an absolutely mammoth gap. But obviously, Lamar finished number 1 overall. And from a 4th-ish round pick, I mean,
Al?
I'm going to say exactly what Sharple said, but flip the names. I've got one name that I think he could make a case for and one name that I definitely think should be it. But I think he could make the case for Lamar because of where he was drafted. But I think he definitely have to say it's Chase because of that point differential. So I'm in the same boat in the fact that I've got the same two names as Sharps, but I think we just differ on who we think it should be.
Yeah.
So realistically, Lou, it's got to be one of those.
Three names, one of which was Saquon Barkley, just because I think he had an incredible season, but obviously it's hard to say he's the MVP when he didn't even come number one at his position for, you know, technicality reasons. But then I also had Jackson and Chase, and it's got to be Chase. It has to be Chase. His numbers that he put up this year are some of the best wide receiver numbers we've seen, period, for wide receivers in fantasy football. His overall points were closer to Jackson's than the player behind him. You know what I mean? Like I think Jackson finished on something like 450, 460 overall fantasy points. Chase was 430.
No, 434 Jackson.
Yeah.
Chase 403.
So that, you know, I mean,
close. Where is he at? Jefferson's way
and that's
back.
So close. And Chase is the number two scorer, I believe, in all of fantasy football. Like, for a wide receiver to do that, an insane points per game. And you actually sort of got him at a value this year. You sort of got him at a value because people were passing on him because of all the off-season stuff. My vote's going Chase. Chapels, sorry.
That's okay. Two worthy winners.
Jamar Chase, MVP of In the Pocket Across the Pond this year. I'm sure that means everything to him, really. I'm sure he's going to be in his mantelpiece. You might not even have him haggling for a bigger deal. No, he's actually won this award. He's like, I've done it. Whatever.
Do you think Jamar Chase has a mantelpiece?
He does now. He better do now.
Yeah, he's going to have to
get one now.
And
that's...
I feel like our award's probably one of those that you keep in, like, your toilet, though. Like, well, in your bathroom, not in your toilet.
Because...
Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Where's everyone going to go in my house?
To poo,
the bathroom.
Where's everyone going to poo? By the In the Pocket Across the Pond MVP award.
Yeah.
It does look like toilet paper as well, like a roll of it. That's good. but let's just jump into some news to close out this special episode of the show, guys. Head coaching hires. I don't know about you guys, I'm going to run them down now. I was pretty underwhelmed by the majority of these. Cowboys hire Brian Schottenheimer, but we don't need to talk about that. listen,
whatever.
Jerry, he's giving, you know, what was the quote? Something in glory holes. Did you see it?
What?
He's obviously stumbled on his words. So he said, like,
he's not stumbling on his words because he said this multiple times.
The glory holes thing.
I'm sure he has. Anyway.
Yeah, Brian Schottenheimer, he's cheap. He's going to get us a good pick next season. Fine, whatever. Cowboys are resaying. I'd love to hear your takes on this. Raiders hiring Pete Carroll as the head coach. 4-year deal, I think. Yeah, what is this, Sharples?
I think this is.
I just think it seems to be a lot of crossed wires on what the timeline is. Obviously, you bring Pete Carroll in to win now because, you know, no disrespect, but he's going to be dead soon.
big disrespect.
Well, you know, everyone dies. Nothing to be ashamed of.
Him sooner than everyone else, though.
Well, I mean, I might get hit by a car tomorrow, so... But
his would be natural causes, because you're saying he's so old.
You would think so, yeah, you would think so. Dustification.
Yeah.
But then, you know, obviously, they're having this big reset because they've got, you know, a high pick and need a quarterback, and you can't bank on whoever the quarterback is coming in is going to suddenly be a Jaden Daniels and be good straight away. So for me, it's just a bit of crossed wires. The team clearly wants to win now, but are they really ready? I mean, they got some nice individual pieces. Max Crosby is fantastic. Obviously, Brock Bowers, great season, but do they really have that core to go and win now?
No.
Not for me. So, I don't really get it.
Maybe a cultural reset? I don't know, but I'm in with you. This is a bit weird. I don't really know.
I think there's something to be said about the fact that you've got Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton in that division, and you just kind of need a bit of star power, a bit of name value at your head coaching position. Because, Antonio Pierce's name always stood out as the least experienced, least proven.
Most likely to fight his, his players.
So I think there's an element of that, though, too.
Yeah, I agree. What would you say if I said to you, Duval?
Duval?
Yeah, can somebody
cringe guy?
Stop me if I'm wrong, but this feels like this guy has had. I mean, he's taking his chances, sure, but this is an insanely fast trajectory for a guy who is pretty, very unproven as an offensive coordinator in this league.
What is it with the AFC? What is it with the? With teams kind of in the South, be it the NFC South or the AFC South, wanting to hire coaches that look like Barney Gumbel.
He does look exactly like Arthur Smith, doesn't he? It's uncanny.
Yeah. Who looked exactly like Barney Gumbel.
They wore the same stuff, like the tracksuit with the sleeves pulled up a bit. I agree. I thought that. Yeah. But this is maybe the most underwhelming one for me out of them all, because this is like, fine. Like what? Baker Mayfield deserves one hell of a raise for getting these two offensive coordinators these past 2 years hired, because Liam Cohen, he does not have the resume of a lot of people who have been interviewing for jobs and not got them, really. And the Duval thing, God,
just no bass in his voice.
Nope, Duval. No. It's like, what are you doing? On the flip side, Burrs hire Ben Johnson. Hell of a lot of optimism here. This guy's experienced. This guy has had a great offense for the past 2 years. Chappell, you're smiling.
Did you see his opening press conference? It was really weird.
He
just had this smirk on his face that said, like, I've got three people locked up in my basement and none of you know about it. Just this really weird look in his eye. And, like, he was trying to smack talk, but combined with that look, he did look a bit serial killer-y to me.
Yeah. I enjoy seeing whether the colour of the tie is going to match like the primary or secondary colour of the team. I think he had an orange one on, so that would be the Burrs' secondary colour, really. You know, the primary colour would be blue. So that's always fun.
Yeah, I agree. And Sharples, to your point, I know. And it was weird when he started talking about locking up the other teams in the NFC North in his basement. Analogy to use while smirking like that.
I need to make some more room first, but once I have done,
he said that
we'll lock him down. He said that.
Quote from in the pocket across the pond. He said that. Good coach. Good coach. Genuinely sort of very curious to see this team with Ben Johnson at the helm with that quarterback. Still don't think they're quite there yet to go on a run or anything like that, but future,
They need to sort that O-line out, because it's easy to mess around and do all kind of mad schemes when you've got, like, Penei Sewell holding it down.
Exactly. And he's, you know, listen, say what you want about Caleb Williams, but right now, he's no Jared Goff. He's no Jared Goff. Patriots, seemingly, you know, in the middle of last season, this happened because, you know, it happened so fast. They hired Mike Vrabel, which is the move they should have done a year ago, but didn't do. A lot of weird stuff with, yeah, a lot of weird stuff with Gerard Mayo. I'm sure we got into it on the last episode, but anyway, Mike Vrabel.
By the way, one more thing on Ben Johnson. I feel like he looks, I'm just scrolling through some pictures. I feel like, and I've thought this before, I feel like he looked different on every single picture.
He does, to be fair.
It looks like a different face.
It does.
Shape.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure Ben Johnson is a very common name, though. You might just be scrolling through a bunch of Facebook profiles and being like, why is this guy different every time?
I don't know why, but I thought you were leading into, he's got such an ordinary name that he has to change his face every time to make himself more interesting.
That too.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mike Vrabel, sure, fine. Good. Mike Vrabel's a good coach. History of the Patriots, Patriots legend. It's exactly what they need, I think. So I think he's there for the long haul, I'd say.
I mean, he must have had him over a barrel in negotiations this time round.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And then Jets hiring Aaron Glenn, defensive coordinator of a pretty mediocre defense, I've thought, for the past few years since he's been the coordinator, I'll be totally honest. So, interesting. But again, ex-Jets player, really good Jets player. This guy could succeed, you know. Obviously part of a successful coaching staff. You know, side note, Lions losing both the defensive and offensive coordinators. Interested to see what they're going to do. But yeah, Chapel's Aaron Glenn.
I mean, he was certainly full of spirit in his press conference, but you just know that that clip's going to get shown when the Jets finish 2-15 next year. So, yeah, hard to get too excited about it. But, you know, God loves a tryer.
Yep. And, I mean, I feel like Dan Campbell ruined head coach pressers because his was so unhinged that coaches feel like they have to do that now. But, I will say it's impressive for the Jets to hire a worse defensive coordinator than the one that they fired in the middle of last season.
Yeah.
Who subsequently is now back as the defensive coordinator of the 49ers, am I right? Robert Saleh? Interesting move there. But yeah, sure. And then we got the Saints, who haven't hired a head coach yet. They've interviewed Mike McCarthy, Kellen Moore, Joe Brady, Darren Rizzi, who's the... which one's Darren Rizzi? Darren Rizzi is the...
He was the interim, the Saints interim. I think the Saints are going to...
I think there's no reason you wait if you're not, because then you've got Mike Kafka, Giants OC, Anthony Weaver, Dolphins DC. You don't wait this long if you're not going to hire Kellen Moore, because he's obviously already preoccupied at the minute. But yeah, I think it's Kellen Moore. Mm. Raiders, Jags, Jets, Titans, all of new general managers as well. See how that works out for them. Player news on the player front. Free agents. Some notable ones. I'll just list some of them. Most notable is probably T. Higgins is a free agent this year. Is he going to stay with the Bengals, lads?
I don't think so.
Do we want him to? For fantasy?
Yeah.
Great player.
I'd like to see him go and spread his wings, try and be a wide receiver one on a team. Personally.
Sure. Chris Godwin, surely still had it last year, but that season-ending ankle injury is a bit of a killer there for his value. Stephon Diggs, again, going to find a new team. Amari Cooper, another new team. Sam Darnold, who knows what's going to go on there. Obviously, Vikings crashed and burned. I think that made the decision for them. He will be the new quarterback of the Jets. Mm-hmm. Who else have we got here? DeAndre Hopkins, yeah. Aaron Jones, again. Keenan Allen. And Russell Wilson. So not as star-studded as last year, really. And then, just to round it out, just a bit of news, that the Rams have informed Cooper Kupp they will be trading him this off-season.
Ooh,
which okay. Cooper Kupp announced on his own social media, saying, listen, this is what happened. Fair enough. Did want to spend the rest of my time in the NFL here. Wanted to retire here, but that's the business. So Cooper Kupp can still certainly do a job somewhere, I think. Be interesting to see. Listen, I mean, you know, the Rams have just sort of shown everybody the cards now by going, we want to trade this guy. So be interesting to see what they can get for him. Now they've just said that.
Al, would Cooper Kupp to the Bills make you happy?
No.
No, I was just thinking that. And when I say a wide receiver is going to change a game, I don't mean a over-the-hill Cooper Kupp. This stinks of a Bills signing. This completely stinks of a Buffalo Bills signing. See, we got, you know, like the Manchester United of the last 10 years. We got Zlatan 5 years too late.
We got
kind of thing.
We
you
got
know
Cavani.
What I mean? We got Cavani.
He was still sick, though. He was
we could be here all day, lad. We could be here all day with United signings.
So, no, I think you need someone more in the prime than Kupp, or you need to draft someone who's better than Keon Coleman.
We got that defender, Varan.
Casemiro.
We got Casemiro.
Casemiro.
We got
Schweinsteiger.
Michael Owen. That was a throwback.
Yeah. No, we were still good then, though.
Yeah. So interesting. Cup over the hill, apparently. There you go. And then Myles Garrett has also requested a trade from the Browns.
Thank God.
The only saving grace that team had. No one's out. Is there a team that is imploding more than the Browns? And rightfully so. Awful, awful business decisions have been made by that team. Who knows where he goes? Maybe if he wants to chase a ring, where do you think he'd go? Apart from the Chiefs?
I don't know what makes sense contractually.
I don't really.
Cap room in that.
I really don't.
I would like to see him go to the Lions, and then it'd be him and Aiden Hutchinson pushing the edge. That'd be nice.
Yeah, Lions maybe. Packers.
Homer.
But that'll do us, lads, for the third annual In the Pocket Across the Pond Awards, and officially for the 2024-2025 season for this podcast. It's been a hell of a ride. That ride is going to come to an abrupt halt at the Super Bowl, because it's going to be an awful game. But we will be back in the off-season, running through free agency signings, the last head coaching signing, the draft. I know Al always has his ear to the ground on the draft. So we'll be coming back with those episodes. But that's it for a little while for us. Thanks for sticking with us for another season. Mm-hmm. Love doing this with you lads. It's so much fun all the time. And it just, you know, it's always, and it makes it even better when you can sit here and watch as your fellow podcast mate says that one of the best running back seasons of all time was
Right, listen, that was pre-season, okay? What really matters, the meat and potatoes, is what you do in the regular season. And the fact is, I had all the hits and none of the misses. And I am the Rolex-wearing, limousine-riding, kiss-stealing, wheeling-dealing son of a gun that won that. And don't you dare forget it.
We won't. And I like that. That's very good. But I also think you have to listen again next year, because it's, you know, yes, you won the projection beat at Sharples, but you also had the worst take. So everything is still in limbo. Who's the best? We don't know. Tune in next year.
Life is all about balance.
Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. See you later.